Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 7, and you will find that on page 529 if you would like to follow along. Psalm 61, verses 1 to 7. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom from the captives, and release from darkness from the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. And you will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. This is the word of the Lord.
Situation in which he was called to minister to the people of God. It was a difficult time for the people of Judah. They had been disobedient and unfaithful to the Lord. Instead of looking to God to keep them safe as he always had, they turned to other countries and formed political alliances, thinking that those pacts and allegiances could somehow keep them safe. Because the people of Judah decided to make their own decisions instead of turning to God, because they made political alliances which seemed good at the time, but which had nothing to do with the Lord, Yahweh decided to let them reap the results of their decisions. He withdrew his protection and allowed the political situations to unfold as they would. And what happened was first the people of Israel were overrun by the Assyrians, and then the people of Judah were defeated by the Babylonians. Jerusalem, the center of their nation, was destroyed. As a people, they were nothing in the eyes of the world, and even in their own eyes. The temple, the center of their faith, was destroyed. They knew that God had turned away from them, because they had turned their backs on God. They were nothing. They had no one to blame but themselves. And the truly awful thing is that they knew it. But God is such a good and caring God, such a kind and generous God, that he chose not to leave his people in this broken state. They deserved everything that happened to them. And yet the Lord still chose to step in and make a difference for his wayward people. The prophet Isaiah was sent to proclaim a message of hope, of peace, of joy, a message of love. This was God's message to his people. It wasn't Isaiah's message, it was God's. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. This had nothing to do with what Isaiah thought. It was the Lord's message of good news. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord was upon Isaiah to proclaim God's message to his people. And the Lord anointed him to preach good news to the poor. He sent Isaiah to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. It's really quite incredible when you think about it. God had every right to be angry. He had every reason to want his people to be punished. After all, they had disobeyed him and turned away from him. He had done everything for them, and they had rejected their God and his ways. Sure, they paid lip service to him, and they made their sacrifices in the temple, but they didn't care about God. They weren't interested in following his ways. They didn't care what he expected of them, because they were too busy doing whatever they wanted. But instead of continuing to judge his people and finding them wanting, God chose instead to forgive his wayward people. He chose to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. He poured oil, a sign of rejoicing, a symbol of festivity instead of mourning. And he gave them a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Physically, the land would recover. The cities would be rebuilt and the temple restored. As the Levites had been the priests for the people of God, so now the entire Jewish people would become priests for the rest of the world. The other nations would provide for them so that they could provide spiritually for the other nations. And that's what happened, but not in the way that we might expect. By the time of the first century, the people of God had actually chosen to go back to their old ways. They had turned from him, and while they were still making sacrifices in the temple, their hearts were far from God. But God had not stopped loving his people. In fact, he had to stop loving any people. He could have destroyed them, but he chose instead to bring salvation. The people of Israel provided a light for the nations because out of the people of Israel came the source of that salvation. One day, as Jody told us, a rabbi sat down in a synagogue in Nazareth and read from the prophet Isaiah. He read those very familiar words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus was that rabbi, and the Father had sent him to bring words of hope, peace, joy, and love to people who didn't deserve it, but who desperately needed it. And nothing has changed much in the 2,000 years since the proclamation of that truth. People walking in darkness have seen a great light because the Messiah has come. The year of the Lord's favor is upon us because the Messiah has brought salvation through his life and death. But not everyone has chosen to accept that redemption. Some have chosen to continue to be spiritually poor, to remain brokenhearted, to live in the captivity of their sin. However, that doesn't change the gift of love that God has offered to his people. Over the last several months, I have experienced such an outpouring of love. You folks have done everything humanly possible to help Bernie and myself. We have been the recipients of your delicious cooking, your cards, your acts of kindness, your prayers. Many of you have helped with the worship services or driven me to visits or appointments. I have been moved to tears by your concern and your compassion. Your demonstration of love has been nothing short of incredible. And then I consider the depths of God's love, and my mind and heart cannot fathom the true nature of what the Lord has done for us. In a few days, we will celebrate the incarnation. In order to provide the salvation God promised to his people, he had to take human flesh and become one of us. He did this knowing that his life and ministry would lead to a cross, and He was willing to come to earth to die in the most gruesome way imaginable. He did it to bring good news to those who are spiritually poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. He set aside his glory and endured rejection and humiliation in order to provide salvation for those who would accept it. And he did all of this because of his great love for us. I thank you for giving me insight into God's incredible love by showing me the depth and magnitude of your love. I thank you for teaching me about the nature of God's self-sacrificing love by giving so much of yourselves to us. You have helped me to grasp the love of our God by showing me the love that you have for me. There are no words to truly describe who God is or what he has done for us. But let us offer him our thanks. Let us give him our praise. Let us present him with our worship in celebration of the incarnation and his willingness to bring us out of darkness, out of our sinful state, and restore us to a right relationship.